3, 2, Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, the Radio of Reason, an independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday, August 9th, 2007. It's now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you're expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 for all you early birds and for those people who are not early birds on the other side of the globe. And we will take your comments while we're on the air. At other times, you may call 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. Of course, you may send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We will try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access broadcasts from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, my2centsonline.com. That's my2centsonline.com, and that the two is a numerical two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Excellent website. Please make it a habit of going there. Good morning, everyone. By the way, you can also send me an AOL instant message to STB Internet Radio. STB Internet Radio. I forgot to mention that. Well, good morning, everyone. Last night was the William Rodriguez presentation, and I will make a comment about that. I first want to open up with some emails. Well, I have four of them. One is kind of hilarious. One is kind of long, but I'd like to read it because it's very interesting. Hold on, I'll be right there. This one is from Jay in Detroit. Thank you, Jay, for writing in. And Jay writes, he says, I could be wrong, but it seems that most libertarians try to win over Republican voters. Why is this? Libertarians should also actively seek to connect with those on the left. Women's rights, reproductive rights, gay rights, keeping our military off foreign soil. These are all issues championed by the left. Listening to the Republican debate today made me nauseous the way they distanced themselves from abortion and talked about how their faith in God informs their decision. No matter how much I believe in the free market and believe that socialism is not the right path to take, given the choice between the two major parties, I would be forced to side with the Democrats. See, the problem is I am a deeply moral person. One could even call my vote faith-based. But it is a faith in the good of the American people, not a faith in fairy tales. Distance yourself from the Republican Party and their conservative ideologies when talking to young voters. You will win over many people such as myself. Many young voters see their gay friends ostracized, have their encounters with unwanted pregnancies, have had friends in the military that lost their lives for nothing. We see all this and go over the Democratic Party without giving much thought to economic issues. Conservative means that one's decisions are guided by a sense of tradition. Libertarian principles are not conservative. They are logical, and that is a radical and progressive position in politics today. Thank you, Jay from Detroit. Absolutely excellent email. I could not agree with you more. If I can only get my wacko Democrat friends to understand and to listen to this program, by the way, and to understand that their position as Democrat progressives, as they call themselves today, are probably the most dangerous people in the United States because they hide under the cloak of goodism. We are good people. We want to help everyone. We're going to make the force the government, or ask the government to do it, and force the government to take the money out of everyone's pocket, put us in debt, you know, and then divvy it out. And it never happens. I mean, they're the most foolish group of people I have ever met in my life. But you are absolutely correct that the Republican Party is probably the wrong place to go. I have much more in common, and I never thought 5-10 years ago I would say this, a lot more in common with the Democrats than I do with the Republicans today. Not the Republican Party the way it is today with the neocons and whatever. Because I share your opinion that we should have faith. We should have all the faith in the world in our fellow human beings. We should be human being based and not faith. That's where our faith should be. I could not agree with you more. That is a wonderful, wonderful email. I applaud you for it. Thank you for writing. This is from my good old friend Alex. Alex writes very often. He says, and this is interesting. Listen to this very carefully. He says, I pledge allegiance to the 100% recycled, natural fiber, dolphin safe, Kyoto compliant, union label flag of the United Nations and World Court. And to the commune for which Ben and Jerry's, Rosie O'Donnell and Paul Newman stand. One global village under Oprah, socially conscious and diverse, with free prescription drugs and condoms for all. Credited to Rush Umpah. Very good, Alex. Thank you. That's very, very good. I guess that sums everything up, doesn't it, Alex? I guess I can close down the station now after reading that. Alex, thank you very much. All right. And by the way, anyone who does send me email on a regular contributes to the show and wants would like to have a Liberty Talk Radio t-shirt, I will send you a beautiful Liberty Talk t-shirt absolutely free of charge if you would just send me your email, your mailing address rather, and also your t-shirt size. Okay. This is from excuse me, from Clint. Clint is in Tulsa. I have two Tulsa people writing to me today. He said, listen to your show. This is kind of funny. Listen to your show. It was over before I realized it. I was ready to call in when I felt there would be a good break in your speech to do so. Wow, I missed it. After mentioning you had about a minute and a half, I knew my chance was over. Sorry, maybe next time. Clint, thank you for listening in. I do hope there is a next time, and please contribute to the show. And Clint, if you do send me, if you do call in, I'll send you a t-shirt, okay? Free of charge. But by the way, you've got to wear it 24 hours a day, okay? Now, this is from Joe. Joe's from Tulsa, too, another Joe. He's talking about an older broadcast. He says, I know exactly how it is to have a family member completely disregard intelligence when it comes to the 9/11 issue. Like you mentioned, it isn't easy. It isn't like this. Boy, I got the email a little fouled up here. Isn't like this is an un- oh this it isn't that this is an unprecedented issue. Unprecedented issue. Sorry about that. Our government has used provocateur events, Pearl Harbor, Gulf of Tonkin, many times over in order to further an agenda of imperialism, not the ideal of liberty. Okay, very good, Joe. Thank you very much. And a t-shirt to you, Joe. Just send me your your t-shirt size and your mailing address, and you got a t-shirt. That's an email for today. I want to mention I went to the William Rodriguez presentation last night. That was Wednesday night at the Renaissance Hotel at 71st Street and 169 in Tulsa. It was a rewarding experience. I guess what strikes me more than anything else is the fact that when you are encounter someone like William Rodriguez, you have this sense in you, this very human, very deep felt sense that this person is 100% sincere. I mean, you cannot imagine this person being this way, lying, making up stories, or having or possessing motives which are other than purely altruistic. I mean, it can't be done. I mean, he's a good person. And when he talks with such specificity in what had transpired. And there is no weasel words. There is no contradictions in what he says. And most of what he discusses revolves around not him, not around the events, but around people. And I found that so gratifying. Everything revolved around people. What was particularly interesting is he talked about the event, what transpired when he was there, what his emotions were, who he was involved in, how many of his friends that he lost, how he tried to save them, not thinking and maybe not even realizing the grave danger that he was in. He knew it was a dangerous situation. How dangerous it was, I'm sure he didn't know. No one knew. No one knew those buildings were going to collapse. And yet, here he is, an American hero, by George Bush's standards, by the way. And yet, not one word in the 9/11 Commission report references him, his comments, what transpired before the airplane hit the tower. Nothing. He is a hero, in my opinion, because he is doing what he is doing today. He is sacrificing everything to get the word out. And basically, the gist of his speech was that because of 9/11, we lost many of our rights. Now we can be held against our will indefinitely. Your phone calls can be tapped. Your emails can be read. This is absolutely unprecedented. All under the guise, under the war of terror. And what he wants to do is he wants to help protect our rights, which are his rights also, he says. He says he's a patriot. He said, we should not allow ourselves to lose any more rights. And then he closes by saying, and learn what happened on 9/11 for the benefit of the families and all those affected on that date. And that's how he closed. I thought it was incredibly moving. Incredibly moving. You know, when I listened to him, and then I thought of Dick Cheney, I thought to myself, we have it all wrong, don't we? What if William Rodriguez was the vice president? I mean, just think of that. Think of the condition of the world if William Rodriguez was president or vice president, a man of tremendous, far-reaching influence. We would not be in Iraq. We would not be in Afghanistan. And we would probably be pulling out troops out of the Middle East and make the Middle East solve their own problems and then we deal with the consequences our way. Our rights would be restored. We would have respect around the world. The trillions of dollars that have been we've been spending would be saved. That money can go to more productive endeavors, and government would be a lot smaller. You know, when you think about it, is what one person can do is remarkable. And I applaud William Rodriguez. If he comes anywhere near your town, I encourage you to get tickets, invite friends, and listen to him. Anyway, okay, great tour. Here is some, I just want to mention that this has nothing to do with our broadcast this morning, and it's already 15 minutes into the broadcast, and I know this is only a 30-minute broadcast, and I always eat my time away, but that's the way I do things. Dick Cheney's disregards the Constitution. This is from an LP newsletter, the Liberty Pledge newsletter, because I pledge every single month. My wife and I pledge money to the Libertarian Party. It is that important to keep the Libertarian Party alive and kicking. This is where our money goes. Our money goes to humanistic causes, and I consider the Libertarian Party part of that mix. In that article, and it doesn't say who wrote this article, but it says here, the audacity of Cheney's recent claims that his office is exempt from disclosure requirements because it is not part of the executive branch is insulting to the concept of checks and balances, the great American protection of the people from their government. And absolutely correct. What people do not understand is that we don't sit here like sheeple waiting for the government to grant us our rights. We are the government. It's a government of, for, and by the people. That's what they do not teach in school anymore. And what we should be saying is that we grant you the right, Mr. Cheney, and that's wrong. You are going to stand trial. And if we think he's treasonous, he should stand trial. And if he's convicted, found guilty, then he should suffer those consequences, whether it be life imprisonment, whether it be hard labor, or whether he be hung. If found guilty, we are the government. We are the government. We are the government. We are the government. When are we going to get it through our skulls that we are the government? And we don't have to go to the government to take our money to give it to the bureaucrats and to all the large corporations who are funding their campaigns, and they act under the guise that this is for us. When are we going to stop doing that? When are we going to start teaching our children in school we are the government? There's a checks and balances. And that George Bush and the past few presidents we've had have been the worst on record because they've all violated the Constitution and violated their oath of office. When are we going to teach that? When are we going to teach in our history books that our presidents in the past 50 years have been violating, probably since Woodrow Wilson, have been violating the Constitution, violating their oath of office, instead of giving them the respect that should be disdained? When are we going to say we are the government? I don't know how to get that across to anyone. Good thing I'm not upset this morning. It's a Cheney claim that because he is the president of the Senate, he is not a member of the executive branch and is thus exempt from the executive order. However, Cheney's office is funded as part of the executive branch and does not undergo the regulations of legislative offices. Certainly the vice president is not a branch of his own. After all, the Constitution only mentions three branches of government, Mr. Cheney, not four. I tell you, people mention his name and I go ballistic. I mean, I heard an interview one time. I'm going off on a tangent again. I heard an interview one time, and it was Dick Cheney's daughter. And I could not believe what I heard. And she was saying, people misunderstand, you know, my father. He is a real people person. When he's at a party, I mean, he is the life of the party. He is gregarious. He's engaging. He's clever. He's humorous. He's just a warm people person. Now, I've never met the man. I do not want to meet the man. I do not even want to ever see the man again on TV. I wish he would just go away somehow. But those words did not describe the person that comes across on the television set. William Rodriguez came across that way, not Dick Cheney. That got me sick. Okay, today's broadcast, guess what we're going to talk about? Finally, we're getting to it. And I have here on my blog, should we be concerned when government appears to do what appears to be the good thing? Is government assistance helpful or harmful? Is there any track record or evidence that government assistance actually works? And I asked to call in. Well, that's my blog, right? And let me read you a little quip from the Future of Freedom Foundation, which I subscribe to. And by the way, folks, there's a few organizations that are just terrific. I highly recommend that you look into these following organizations. The Future of Freedom Foundation, and they can send you emails, and that's free of charge. I send them money also. I send them contributions. And then there's the Foundation of Economic Education. Those two are critical. Added to that, on very current events, you would want to belong to the American Institute of Economic Research. Absolutely critical. Those three are absolutely critical. Together with that, I recommend the Cato Institute. Now, here in Oklahoma, we have the Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs. And I belong to the ACLU for Civil Liberties. Reading all of those, you get a good flavor for what is going on. Now, there are many, many other organizations. Those are the ones that I belong to. There are links to other organizations when you do belong to these other organizations, and you may go there and find out. And I also encourage you once again to go to my friend Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com, and learn about economic issues. He talks about what's happening with the financial structure of the United States. And that is a scary, scary thing. All right. Here we go from the Future Freedom Foundation. It says, warfare is the master key with which the state gains entry into every formerly protected area of American life, overriding long-established rights and suppresses long-established liberties. And that's from Robert Higgins' Wall Street Journal letter to the editor on July 30th, 2007. That's very good. Talking about or referencing, I do have an email. Let's see. I got some instant message and I missed them. That was Alex. That was Alex from Connecticut. Hold on one second. Let me get Alex here. All righty. Okay, Alex, sorry. If you're listening in, I'm sorry I missed your instant message, but it's tough to do three things at one time, and I'm trying to do at least two things at one time. Thank you for listening, Alex. If you have a note, please send it to me. If I have a chance, I'll read it on the air. Thank you very much. I may not be able to respond to you, but I will read it on the air. When we talk about government charity, I like a reference to that. I would like for someone who is a proponent of government giveaways and government programs to tell me one program that's actually worked. Just one. All right. Now, I'll save you some time. Social Security did not work. And the reason why Social Security did not work, because the little money that they took it back in those times, they never expected to pay out. Now that they have to pay it out, they use it for other items, and the government's really screwed us, and now we're in debt to the tune of tens of trillions of dollars of unfunded debt. That is not a successful program. We have indebted our children, our grandchildren, and their children. So we have a real problem with Social Security. There is no program that I know of that was done more efficiently by the government than could be done by private enterprise. Now, here's a key. I read an interesting article that talks about the statistics of poverty and whatever. And what I learned in that article was that actually, poverty was decreasing at a more rapid rate prior. This is prior to the Great Society of Lyndon B. Johnson. Poverty started to increase after that point in time, or level off. And they said, well, geez, well, how could that be? Well, see, America was becoming more prosperous. America was much freer. We were freer to do what we wanted to do, and we didn't expect government to do anything, so we did things ourselves. And people were lifting themselves out of poverty. Those that could not relied on community, family, and friends. Oh, and religious organizations. I guess that's all part of community. So family, friends, religious organizations, their community. And it was very effective. Because what people were concerned about then was not giving a person money, but lifting them out of poverty. Making certain that the person's identity was not dissolved in some welfare program. Making certain that person's self-respect was retained. Maybe a person was given some food temporarily so the person can have enough energy to go to work. And these people typically paid back. And what do we have today? We have welfare programs that are unending, and even when they discontinue them, people go from one program and slip over to another. We decrease in one, increase in another, into another. So they have less of a check, but they get more food stamps. They're off less of a check, but then they get subsidized rent assistance. And then you have people brought up in this environment where they are not the government. They are not the government. The government allows them to exist. The government allows them to exist. George Orwell, 1984, all over again. There is no, I don't know what government charity is. I don't know when people say we want the government to do good things. I don't understand what that means. Because the government is an entity and cannot do anything. It's got to be people. And the people in office can only stay in office if they have tons of money. And if they have tons of money, the only way they can have tons of money is if they attract it from the large corporations. And that doesn't mean you and me, folks. I hate to tell you that. So when we say government charities, we go back to the progressive movement and good government. There is no such thing as good government. There's such a thing as limited government. And we should be wary. Anytime the government says they're doing something for us, they're not doing it for us. They're doing it for a reason. Let me give you an example. And I may have mentioned this last week. If I'm repeating myself, it's my age. Eminent Domain. There was a big, big hullabaloo about the Kelo case when that woman or man lost their home to a commercial development. Everyone was in uproar. The Supreme Court upheld that. Uproar. Lawsuits all over the place. Individual states enacted, 20 individual states enacted individual legislation to prevent that from happening. And in every one of the cases, they wrote their legislation such that that the developers can get around the wording. For example, they'd say a person cannot lose their house for commercial development. But what they failed to put in there is economic development, because then economic development spells public good. Public good means public domain. Public domain means eminent domain, out the window. And so there's always a cheat somewhere. Even when it sounds good, it runs bad. Folks, be leery. Remember, you are the governed. Government. You are the government. There is no such thing as government. We have a person, or we have an entity that is just there, exist, just to ensure that we stay as the governed. Okay? We are the governed, and we have a government to ensure that it stays that way, and that's the only reason why they exist. Okay, this is the end of this morning's broadcast. That went fast. Wow. Where's my cheat sheet? Wow. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Or phone in your questions to area code 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Until next time, stay well. Stay tuned.